Listen, put me in the parking lot, you know, with bears, and I'll go out there and play. It don't matter.
You are Locked On Auburn, your daily podcast on the Auburn Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You're listening to Locked On Auburn. It's everyone's favorite day. Happy Ferg Friday. I'm Zach Blackerby, joined by Justin Ferguson with the Auburn Observer. How are you, friend?
I'm doing good. It's back. Good to be back in the studio. It has been a minute since we've done this.
I know. I'm glad. I like this way more than Skype.
Yes.
I appreciate you being flexible and, you know, doing different times to help me out and all that. But
100%.
I am so glad you're back in studio. So a lot has happened since we've talked last time in studio. You've done a great job as I think everyone agrees. You've done an outstanding job at The Observer.
Appreciate it.
Talking about the scheme and what different hires bring.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my favorite articles you've ever written, I read pretty much everything you put out, Justin, was I think it was what you sent out Monday about Derek Mason's defensive scheme and what to look at. I think it was like Derek Mason 101 or something like that, what you called it. I absolutely loved it.
Thank you.
So it's worth every penny. AuburnObserver.com. But the thing that's been fascinating to me about this is, one, I don't know if Auburn has the personnel to run a 3-4 with Derek Mason, but as you pointed out,
it's going
to
be a transition.
Totally.
Yeah.
The defensive line is very interesting to me. We'll talk about the defensive line in just a second. Let's talk about the stud position first.
The stud position, yeah. It's a really interesting spot because, you know, the Derek Mason defense, I wanted to be very clear because when I went and wrote that story, I went and tried to find as much Derek Mason, like him talking about defense, as I could, like coaching clinics, stuff like that. And one of his things is like, he's like, I'm a defense guy. I'm not a 3-4 guy. I'm not a 4-3 guy. I am a defense guy.
I like that.
You put it on the board. I'm going to break it down for you. And so the flexibility and the versatility is going to be very, very key.
Right.
But this stud position, this outside linebacker, you know, when you look at in the past at Stanford, at Vanderbilt, and then when you look at Brian Hartson's days at Boise State, they have this defensive end, hybrid outside linebacker position. Not even quite like, you know, Auburn had the buck for forever.
Sure.
This is stud, stand-up defensive end, and they also drop back into coverage a lot.
Didn't realize it was an acronym.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. A little funny little acronym there.
Is buck an acronym?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think it's just it's one of those things. But the stud position at Boise State produced some really big name pass rushers over the years for them, guys that were also versatile. Like mm-hmm. their top sack guy would, you know, have several pass deflections and interceptions a year because they drop them back into coverage. And at Stanford and Vanderbilt, you saw some of that as well with them, with just some versatility what they have.
Sure.
You're not necessarily a pass rusher by trade. You're not necessarily just an outside linebacker. You got to be able to do some of everything. And so this is where Auburn and this defensive front, if you want to make the pitch for the transition from the Kevin Steele defense to the Derek Mason defense,
right,
is this. Much like Brian Harsin on the offensive side of the ball, be prepared for anything. When you come to the line of scrimmage and you look up and there are two or three guys on the defensive front with their hands down, there's linebackers moving around, shifting around right before the snap, the whole point is, that guy might be blitzing. That guy might be dropping back into coverage. That guy might be doing this. That guy might be doing that. And so it makes it tougher for an offense to say, all right, here's what they're about to do, or here's the weak point. As great as Kevin Steele's defense is, and it was fantastic, I think it's very similar to kind of like Gus Malzahn's offense. When it works, it was awesome.
Sure.
It was also kind of very rigid, and you know what was coming. This new thing with Brian Harsin and what they're doing moving forward on the offensive side and the defensive side, when you bring in a guy like Derek Mason as well, is the fact that you're not going to have as much natural talent as the Alabamas and the Georgias of the world.
Right.
But you're going to try to get as close as you can, and then you're going to try to overcome those gaps by being able to do some of everything and be less predictable and more consistent on that side of the ball.
Yeah, and he was able to do that at Vanderbilt. You know, as far as what he was dealing with and what he was able to put on the field, I think you definitely saw, you know, the sum was greater than all the parts in that situation. And you saw it at Stanford as well, and he was a big part of their success when he was there. So who do you think plays this buck position? All week I've been saying Owen Papo. We were talking before we turned the microphones on. You do not agree with me on that, so tell me why.
So I just think with a guy like Owen, you know how big of a weapon he is in coverage as well, right? So, like, what kind of linebackers? The thing with Owen Papo is so interesting to me is that he has got, like, size wise and athleticism wise, there's some people who think his position at the next level is going to end up being safety or a defensive back of
right.
some kind.
Sure.
When you look at Derek Mason's defense, it's not necessarily in this spot where it's like, well, you have to play this role or this. They find spots for you. Oren Burks was a good example at Vanderbilt. Mm-hmm. They just found a spot and let him work where it was like, Isaiah Simmons is a great example at Clemson where it was like, physically you do things that normal people can't do.
Yeah.
And we can move you around in different spots, and we don't have to necessarily lock you in and say, hey, you're a safety, you're a corner, you're an outside linebacker, you're inside linebacker. And so I don't see Owen being that guy as that top stuff. Now, do I see Owen rushing the passer a lot more in this defense? Sure. Do I see Owen doing a lot of different things? Yeah, I just think he's going to be one of those guys where you can just kind of plug him in everywhere. The pass rush, that stud defensive end position, and then just the pass rush in general moving forward, I'm curious to see who comes up next because we saw Derek Hall make some strides in that area, and I think he's got the body of it, but can he do some of the coverage stuff that they're going to ask people to do? We talked about it before the mics went on. I like Romello Height's upside at Auburn a lot.
Love Romello Height.
And I think Romello Height would be like he's one of those dudes you kind of put in a lab and you come out and he's like, okay, that's an edge rusher. Right. That's a modern edge
6'5", long, explosive, just young.
And they're going to have to find guys like that, and that's where the transition gets really, really interesting. Whereas a guy like Owen and a guy like Zacoby McClain, we heard that T.D. Moultrie earlier in the week, Jason Caldwell reported that he's going to come back and move back to linebacker. Mm-hmm. You know that Chandler Wooten said he's coming back. Those guys, they're going to be able to mix and match and do a lot of different things at linebacker. So I'm very curious to see who all these roles go down to. But a guy like Owen and a guy like Zacoby, you look at him and just say, hey, buddy, we know you can do everything because you just had to do it right. This past year.
You're right. Yeah, and I think both of those backers need to be blitzed more. I love it when they're sent.
They're really good at it.
Didn't happen as much as I thought it should have last year, but it's hard to argue with what Kevin Steele was able to put over on the field over the past few seasons. Does the buck change – or not the buck. Wow, we're going to have to get over that.
Yeah.
Does the stud – do they change sides of the field often?
They move them around, yeah. Like, it's not necessarily just, hey, you're going to be on this spot – right before the snap.
Is it typically towards the field side? Is it typically towards boundary? Is it not related to that at all?
It is the times I've watched it. It's usually on the boundary side, but we'll see.
Okay,
we'll see. They move around. Like I think it was in the story I read on Monday. You go back and watch. Nobody, honestly, did a better job of defending Texas A&M this year than Vanderbilt did back in week one this year.
Yeah.
You go watch that tape and you watch them. Every snap, Vanderbilt is doing something different up front, where they're like, and right before the snap, too. And they did this against Notre Dame in 18, where they come to the line of scrimmage, and right before the snap, it's like, okay, now my hand's down, or now this guy just went all the way across the formation right before the snap, just to confuse him and try to do stuff like that. So it's just like, I think it's very much kind of like an isolate where. You know you can attack. One of the best things I think Ryan Garner and Kevin Steele did when they had Derek Brown is that if there was a guard that they knew was getting absolutely abused in coverage, they wouldn't be afraid to put an edge rusher right over the top of them and kick a guy like Derek Brown to the outside. And the same thing, if a defense tackle is having a hard time holding up strength wise, all right, let's just put Derek Brown and all 320 pounds of him right over him off the edge and go to work. So I think you're going to get a lot of that. Kind of mentality into the way they want to rush the passer.
Today's show brought to you by our friends at betonline.ag. The playoffs are here. Obviously, a huge weekend for divisional matchups throughout the National Football League. If there is a matchup you like and you feel pretty confident on, you need to head over to betonline.ag right now. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. And also visit our friends and exclusive betting partner throughout the Locked On Podcast Network on social media. Just search at betonline_AG to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and use the promo code LOCKEDON for your sign-up bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So talking about, you know, making folks make decisions and, you know, using matchups to manipulate, you know, really, I guess, defensive defensive progress here. On the defensive front, who are guys that you can move around to create some of these mismatches?
That's a great question, because we're coming off of a season at Auburn where we saw Colby Wooden at one point just like was hard to keep out of the backfield.
Right. Now it's like, okay, you've got to do something else where you can't really penetrate as much as you did.
It's not just pin your ears back and go. It's playing two gap defense where you're going to be responsible maybe for holding your block a little bit and reacting to where the ball goes, not as necessarily I'm going to just dive right through and go get it. And not to say the Kevin Steele defense, they did two gap stuff. And you can't just be straight up like that. We are just a one gap team. Like that doesn't work in modern football anymore. It's a question that I really have, that they're going to have to teach these guys how to do a lot of new stuff. And they've got the athleticism and they've got the ability.
It's a size thing to some extent, though, right?
There's going to be some of that as well. And I think there's going to be some young guys that we have not seen yet at Auburn, or haven't seen much of yet, that are going to have opportunities to say, hey, we're creating something new. We're doing something new. You're going to have some opportunities to play early, and like we're going to have to learn and grow with you. You get a guy like Lee Hunter in.
Yeah.
You know Jay Hardy was a highly rated guy coming out of high school. There are guys like that if they're going to be willing to make this transition and that change, it's going to happen, because there's a lot of change coming up front, right? We know Daquan Newkirk's not going to be here anymore.
Right.
We know Big Cat Bryant's not going to be here anymore.
Right.
Young guys are going to have to step up. At the line of scrimmage, you're about to see a change of the way Auburn does business up front. And it's going to create some opportunities for these young guys to learn and build, and there are going to be some growing pains through it.
Derek Hall, probably the best pass rusher on the team last year, just because you didn't see some of these linebackers get sent a whole lot on passing situations.
Right.
So I think by default, Derek Hall, and you know, he had some good numbers, you know, throughout the season. Can he line up as a 3-4 defensive end?
Yeah, that's a great question, because I think he's got that frame where if they put more weight, he's got more weight that he can put on him.
But he's got so much burst. It's like, right, how much do you want to put on there?
Well,
you know?
You talked about that stud position. That's something that makes a lot of sense as well for him. This dude's super athletic.
Yeah.
Like, people forget that Derek Hall not only was a really good, you know, defensive end prospect coming out of high school, he was an all state, or at least all area basketball player. He ran track.
Mm-hmm.
Like he is a unique type of athlete at that
right.
position. He's not just big man who goes and gets to the quarterback. He's big athlete that they're trying to focus in at the quarterback spot. Now you're coming into this new system where instead of playing buck, where you're being like, hey, your job is to pin your ears back and go after the quarterback as a defensive end. Now you're going to be in a system, I think, that might take a little bit more of advantage of the fact that he is maybe a little more agile, a little bit more explosive, a bit better at covering ground, not necessarily just rushing the passer, because of his athleticism.
Yeah.
And so that's where I think Hall is an interesting spot, much like how Romello Height makes a lot of sense as well.
What about a guy like Zacchavius Walker was brought up on the show earlier this week, so I'm not going to ask you about him. But
that's
what
a good one.
Yeah. I mean, just as far as size goes, it kind of makes sense. What about a guy like Dre Butler? We didn't really see a whole lot of him as much as I thought we would this season. Is that a guy? I mean, he's kind of got a good mix of size, presence, and all of that. Could you see him?
Yeah, these guys that Auburn have gotten over the last few years where it's like the word on them was they wanted them to be like Marlon Davidson,
right,
where it was like, hey, he's a 4-3 end who can play inside. Well, now you're coming into a system now where it's like, okay, if you have that versatility, you could really be that guy on a 3-4 quote-unquote front, you know, be that guy who on pass rushing situations, like a lot of times when they go, you know, on third downs, they would do things where they'd have two down linemen and then two stand-up outside linebackers kind of rushing the passer, guys who can kind of hold that as well. I think Walker makes a lot of sense there. Dre Butler, these guys that were necessarily like didn't have you're a defensive tackle, you're a nose, you're a traditional defensive end. That versatility, I think, is going to help them, because that's what they're going to want out of this defensive line.
Right.
Moving forward. The nose tackle, if they have a traditional nose, you know, 3-4 3-4 tackle, who that guy is going to be very fascinating to watch.
I don't know who it is.
Exactly. Like, that might be a situation.
They need to clone J.J. Pegues and teach him how to play defensive line.
That might be a situation where they go into the transfer market.
Yeah.
Or they go into a situation where they get one of these bigger dudes on the defensive front and like bulk them up even more and try to teach them these things.
That's Lee Hunter couldn't do that right away, right?
I would like, and I don't know if you want him to, because Lee Hunter's so, he's so freaking explosive.
Yeah, he moves so well.
He moves really, really well, and he gets into the backfield really well. That I don't necessarily say, hey, buddy, you just got to have to, you know, and it, you just have to be our you know, I'm trying to think of who's a 3-4 nose tackle in the NFL. Like, you don't want him to be like Vince Wilfork. Like, you don't want him to just be like, hey, well, you're here to just be big and take up space.
Yeah.
So does Auburn go for a guy like that? Like, who becomes that kind of dude? Because they have so many of these big ends and athletic tackles that I think they can work in this system. But it's just going to be a matter of, like, who's going to be that fulcrum, that centerpiece, if they do a lot of that, like, traditional 3-4.
Yeah, it is interesting how many guys, it's like the same player, like very similar players, because it's like they were chasing that Marlon Davidson, you know, 2.0.
And like Derek as well. Like, Derek had the athleticism to play on the end at times. And no matter what people at Pro Football Focus said, the dude could rush the passer.
Correct.
And I think he proved that in his rookie season that he could do it.
No, I think you're right. I think you're right. As far as what the defensive backfield does in Derek Mason's system, and it looks like Auburn's going to have a lot of returning guys in the defensive backfield. You lose Tut, but I think Ladarius Tennyson's going to be fine in that role. Mm-hmm.
You got a lot of depth at that nickel spot.
Yeah, and so how does that look? And at the time of us recording this, we don't know if Jamie Sherwood's coming back or not. Yeah. I feel like he's going to if he's waited this long.
Yeah, he's such an interesting case, because I'd have thought that we would have heard a decision by now with him.
And we probably will get done recording this and it'll drop. Who knows? But
that's how it usually works.
Yeah, assuming he's coming back, just big picture for the defensive backfield, is it going to be a whole lot of different scheme there? Still man on the outside, right?
So man on the outside, they like to change it up, and you know, you will see a decent amount of zone as well. Again, it's versatility. It's be prepared for anything. Derek Mason's background is in the defensive backfield.
Right.
You look at, if you want to see his MO in the secondary, he loves big defensive backs who can run and hit like linebackers.
Mm-hmm.
They are so crucial to what they do in terms of run support, but also he just wants you to be big and physical and hit people.
Yeah.
You look at his track record. He had Jawan Williams at Vanderbilt, who was a gigantic corner.
He's a 6'4 corner.
He's a 6'4 corner.
Where's 33 in the NFL? Kind of weird.
Of course, his biggest protege that people know about is Richard Sherman.
Right.
I mean, he likes these big cornerbacks that are going to get physical. Mm-hmm. So I think a guy like Roger McCreary, that's a great sign for him. Smoke Monday. So here's my thing with Smoke Monday heading into this season. I think Derek Mason could be the best thing for Smoke Monday, because the thing with Smoke Monday, if you watch him on film, the dude plays really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a lot of talent. He has some consistency issues, and he has some big plays go over his head. And I think the big thing is eyes. And Derek Mason preaches eye discipline, because at Stanford and Vanderbilt, it's like he knew that these guys were not as athletic as the team they were playing is. But it's like, hey, if we're fundamentally sound and we're in our right spot, we're going to make more plays than that. We know Smoke Monday has all the talent in the world athletically. It's just, can he become a more consistent defensive back? Can he become a more consistent safety? Can he get his eyes in the right spot? Can he be where he needs to be more often than not?
He'll tighten up at times.
Yeah.
And it's like, where did your hip mobility go, man? Like,
he's going to be really, really good for a guy like Smoke. And that's the thing. That's the big thing about this Derek Mason hire that is really, really interesting to me. Because for the first time in his career, he's going to have a top 15 roster to work with in terms of talent. And it's like, we know what you did and can see what you did with the bottom of the barrel when it came to Power 5 talent at Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
And then at Stanford, where guys, you just have, like, it's hard to get in Stanford. And, like, you have to, like, make the most of your situation. If you do that, if you did that at those places, what are you going to do with a guy like Smoke Monday? What are you going to do with a guy like Roger McCreary? What are you going to do with a guy like Ladarius Tennyson?
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's going to bring in that attitude of run hard, hit hard. But on top of that, I think he's going to be able to make those guys just better, well-rounded, NFL-caliber defensive backs, because he did this with, honestly, some guys that no one would have ever expected to be draft picks in his couple stops.
You're right. Yeah, and I said it earlier in the week. I think the guy that benefits the most from the hire of Derek Mason is Smoke Monday. So
yeah,
I agree with you.
100%.
You're listening to Locked On Auburn, Justin Ferguson, give us the lowdown of what folks are seeing if they subscribe to the Auburn Observer right now.
A lot of basketball at the moment. Auburn hoops. Sharif Cooper is pretty good. I don't know.
Holy cow, that was so fun.
Oh, he's
Wednesday night. Like the step from Saturday to Wednesday was crazy.
Yes, and I want to point something out. I want to point something out real quick. Auburn has scored 185 points over the last two games. Okay, they've hit. Like, I believe it's like they've hit 10 three-pointers during that stretch, and they've turned the ball over 41 times. And they have scored that many points.
Yeah.
They have scored 185 points.
And he's still not shooting that efficiently.
He hasn't scored efficiently, and he's never played with Justin Powell in a competitive game yet. Mm-hmm. And Justin Powell is, you know,
you got to think he's going to play tomorrow.
I would think so. Yeah. But we'll see.
Right.
So there's a lot of Auburn basketball stuff going on at the website, a lot of observations. We're talking about it a lot on the podcast these days as well. And the Derek Mason story earlier week. Wednesday I wrote a story on how Tank Bigsby might be the most valuable player.
That was an interesting one too.
2021 for Auburn, because that track record with Brian Harsin and Mike Bobo is – if you're a really good running back, they're going to feed you the ball. And so big for Auburn to keep Tank around, and I think it's going to be the building block for the future of this whole offense.
Yeah, right? You whipping out some analytics comparing him to, like, the gap between him and Kerryon Johnson was bigger than, like, the gap between Kerryon Johnson and, like,
and
the
everybody
next
else.
Like, that is crazy.
Yeah, in terms of PPA, in terms of, like, how much he added value he brought to the Auburn offense last season. He's special. And it was the trivia question I had earlier in the week. Auburn had not had a running back since 1993, since James Bostic.
Yeah.
Since to lead a team and lead the team in carries and have over 6 yards of carry. Like that, he's rare. It's crazy. He was doing it behind an offensive line that everybody knows was not up to normal standards this season, was very inexperienced. So it's going to be a big, big, big time for him. But, yeah, a lot of that stuff, a lot of basketball stuff, podcast twice a week, stories pretty much every day.
Right.
Right in your inbox.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome. It's perfect. Like, if you want the super nerdy stuff, there's stuff for you. And if
that's
you just
what
want
we're going
the,
for.
The recap and just kind of the big overview of, like, why this worked, you got that too. So auburnobserver.com, worth every single penny. All right, so we got a few minutes left. What do you think, just big picture, of this coaching staff so far?
Yeah, I think this is a really good mix that Brian Harsin has put in here of guys that he knows, guys that he trusts, guys that know the SEC, guys that know Auburn, guys, but ultimately fit that big picture scheme of what they're going to try to do at Auburn. And it's what I said earlier. Brian Harsin, the pitch for Brian Harsin at Auburn wasn't, hey, we're coming in and we're going to try to out-recruit Alabama and Georgia, and we're going to try to do this and this, or we're going to have the hottest offense in the world, and we're going to – the pitch is, hey, Auburn has the potential to be much better if they can just be a more consistent football team, and what we're going to do to be ready for the Alabamas and the Georgias of the world is get you prepared for anything on offense and defense. I think Bobo and Mason, as their coordinators, that's their MO, and so they fit into that scheme. And then he's surrounding himself right now with guys that not only know the SEC, but also know Auburn and know what it takes to recruit here, what it takes to win at a high level here. And on top of that, and I know some Auburn fans will be like, hey, why is he doing that? He brought in a couple of his own guys.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's that trust. You don't want to lean too hard into anything. You hired him because he's successful, so you want him to bring some of his guys over, but you also know that he's stepping into a completely new situation. I think the balance is fantastic on this staff, and we'll see how it works and if this big picture scheme was worth making the move. But I think, you know, if you're looking for steadiness and even, you know, kind of an even keel, it's hard to argue with who they've hired so far.
Two things, neither of them serious. Jeff Schmetting, fun name. Schmetting, are you kidding me?
Wonderful name.
Other thing, the Brad Lorado guy, does he look like a mob boss? Yes or no?
He looks like he can take care of business, man.
Yeah.
Did you
see the thing we posted? We had a guest this week. Charlie Five came on and was like, he looks like he can crush a chicken parm and then, like, drive your head through a drywall.
He's one of those guys that was like, when I saw him and I was like, That's a guy you're going to want to make sure, in my position, you want to get on his good side. Yeah. Not only just because it'd make your life easier, but like also like he looks like
he could end you.
He could take care of business. Like, yeah. But that's he also kind of, you know, in a lot of his hires, Hartson's hires so far has been like, this dude is all business, man. This is a different.
Dude, every single one of them are like that.
Yeah.
They're all like that, where it's like they just want to talk football, they want to coach and get guys, and that's it.
And so I've made the point that this is the first time Auburn maybe has ever had a guy like that. And I'm not saying that this is the right way or the wrong way. I think people's personalities and different guys can succeed. This is a sport where Dabo Swinney and Nick Saban can both win national championships. Sure. My thing about it is that Auburn for so long, their style and their head coaches, and you can go back all the way to the dawn of time, these folksy kind of SEC Southern kind of coaches in this environment. Now you're bringing a dude in who, I mean, you're an NFL guy, Zach. He has a lot of NFL kind of vibe to him, even for a dude who has never coached there. But it's just very much all business. Like this is what we're doing. What we're going to be about.
What do you think about some of the titles, like the chief of staff thing, or like the running game coordinator? We haven't really seen that under Gus. I like it so far.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting because that the running game coordinator, passing game coordinator, and all that. I think it's just it shows kind of like a.
Has a passing game coordinator been named?
No,
I don't think so.
And I would imagine that if they get a wide receivers coach, that would be your passing game coordinator.
Fair enough.
I guess that would be the way about it. But then on the defensive side as well, you have a run game coordinator on defense. The fact you're splitting outside linebackers and inside linebackers, it's like this is a different way of going about your business.
The structure is so different. And like you heard all these reports come out about like how disorganized things were. And like I don't know how dramatic that was or not. We'll never know. But it just seems like a totally different way of doing things.
It is a totally different way of doing things. And that's the thing. It's like, is it going to work? I don't think. Well, we won't know. We won't know for years if this was the move that needed to make. Look,
you're right.
Look what Alabama did this season, right? That's what you're going up against. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, you know, you could have stuck to what you have been doing, and you probably are going to end up getting the same kind of results in the long run.
Right.
Or you could have gone with a Sark or a Lane Kiffin or something like that, and it might have been more exciting. But, like, here's what you're going up against. So now Auburn's counterpoint to it is that – instead of being the chaotic, you know, upset-minded machine that you want to be at Auburn, and now it's more going to be like, we've got to be all business, consistency moving forward. It's a different way of going about it. And I think talking to some people who've been around for a while for Auburn, they're getting the vibe that this is kind of similar to when Auburn brought Pat Dye in the 80s, and just a new way of going about things, a new attitude, a new style of things. And we know what that did for Auburn moving forward. Let's see if this new style is going to be the thing that steps Auburn into maybe a new era where they're a much more competitive team more consistently.
My biggest concern is going to be impatience by the fan base and the administration.
Yep.
I have every bit of faith and what Harsin's vision is, and the coaching staff, and you know, just the personality and the culture that is going to take time to form, and it's going to take a few years for him.
It's
going to
take
implement.
A while, yeah.
But you know, he talked about it with you know a video that Auburn Athletics put up when he and Andy Burcham sat down talking about. He quoted his father saying, "You can either get it done quickly, or you can get it done right." Mm-hmm. And It's gonna be like a slow cooker type thing.
Yeah.
And I think if we can wait as a fan base and as the administration, like I don't think Auburn's gonna field a great team next year. That is my way too early prediction there. I think if they went 8-4 next year, that'd be a win.
Honestly. Oh, yeah.
So
I'm with you.
I hope they don't, you know, go 8-4 and they lose the Iron Bowl by a lot. And like you go into the offseason, like,
why do we fire this?
Gus, who you know, Gus does that. I hope that's not the feeling moving forward. I think it's gonna be.
Yeah.
I hope I'm wrong.
That's the thing is like I think Auburn fans need to be patient because when you look at the way Harsin does things, the way Derek Mason does on defense, the way this roster is going through an overhaul, there's going to be some growing pains here. But again, I don't want Auburn fans to feel despair because, of course, your team has been the only team that has been able to beat Alabama multiple times during this stretch, and you did it with a coach you just got rid of. I think you look at what happened on Monday night in the national title game. I think you look at the recruiting rankings moving forward and know this. It's going to be rough trying to go up against Alabama for the for the foreseeable future. So are you going to prepare yourself, and are you going to get better as an overall program, as a health-wise,
yeah,
so that whenever Alabama does take that step back, or whenever Alabama, when Nick Saban's no longer coaching there, are you going to be ready? Are you going to be prepared? Or are you going to be like, oh, crap, well, now it's our chance.
Right.
I think the pitch now for Harsin is like, you're getting prepared for that moment. And it might not – wins and losses, which is the lifeblood of college football, it might not translate immediately. But long-term, I think it could be the way to go.
Ferg, where can people find all of your stuff? Once again, give us the rundown.
AuburnObserver.com, $6 a month or $60 a year. Gets you a subscription to everything we do. Stories pretty much every day into your email inbox and a premium podcast episode. We also do a free podcast on Sundays. Anywhere you listen to those, Auburn Observer there. And I'm on Twitter at JFergusonAU.
Awesome, man. I'm on Twitter at ZBlackerby. The show is on Twitter at Locked On Auburn and on Instagram at Auburn Podcast. We'll recap the weekend on Monday right here on Locked On Auburn.
It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.